I have a story I would like to share with you. It is a story that my friend Tom recently shared with me. We both live in Madison, Wisconsin, which is the state capital and home to the state's flagship public university, the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Tom tells me that not too long ago he was filling up his car at a gas station here in town. He drives a Prius and has two bumper stickers on his car that say Obama 2012 and Recall Walker. Walker, for anyone who may not know, is our current governor, Scott Walker. He is Republican and was first elected in November 2010. He took office on January 3, 2011, and soon after, on February 11, 2011, introduced a budget repair bill, Act 10, that called for an end to collective bargaining rights, except with respect to wages, for all public employees except police and fire employees. It also required all public employees to increase their payroll contributions for health and pension benefits, to the tune of a 10% cut to many of their paychecks. Over the following weekend, union leaders organized protests at the Capitol. By Tuesday, February 15th, over 10,000 protesters gathered on the Capitol Square, and thousands more packed the inside. 2 days later, 14 Democrats in the state Senate fled to Illinois in an effort to block the bill. The protests continued for weeks, peaking on Saturday, March 12, when approximately 100,000 protesters packed the Capitol Square. Earlier that week, the legislature passed the collective bargaining provisions by removing some parts dealing with fiscal matters, which allowed them to reach quorum in the Senate despite the 14 missing Democrats. By mid-March, efforts to recall 16 state senators of both parties and the governor were underway. In the summer of 2012, recall elections for 9 state senators were held. On June 5, 2012, Walker himself survived a recall vote in a campaign against the same Democrat he had competed against in 2010, Tom Barrett, the mayor of Milwaukee, becoming the first American governor ever to survive a recall. Then, in November 2014, he was reelected with 52% of the vote. The partisan divisiveness in Wisconsin reflects broader political trends in the United States. The country as a whole has seen increasing partisan polarization since the mid-1970s. Democrats and Republicans in both the U.S. House and Senate are increasingly further apart on many issues. Also, state legislatures have become more and more polarized. Wisconsin stands out in this respect. Its state legislators are further apart than most, but the trend is universal. Our political leaders are increasingly taking stands that are ideologically distinctive and far apart, and members of the public are increasingly polarized as well. Some argue that the public is not actually polarized, that people are just better sorted ideologically into partisan camps than in the past. But others observe that there is more at stake here than ideology. Divides between identifiers with the two parties in terms of religious preferences, attitudes toward race, and racial demographics themselves are deeper than ever. The divides are not just about politics, but about who we are as people. These divides are also reflective of the central debate in American politics today. What is the proper role of government in society, and who should pay for it? There are those who believe government ought to be expanded in order to deal with the challenges we face, and there are those who feel that government itself is a major obstacle that should be shrunk. The emergence of the Tea Party is one manifestation of this fundamental divide. So, back to my story. It is in this contentious context that Tom is pumping gas into his clearly liberal Democratic car. A cool vintage convertible pulls into the station. Tom starts chatting up the driver when he gets out of his car. The man looks at Tom, looks at Tom's car, and says, "I don't talk to people like you." This is a little shocking. Unfortunately, it is not unusual in Wisconsin anymore. It has gotten downright nasty around here. People, in casual conversation, are treating each other as enemies. And this isn't a place in which people are notoriously nice. Seriously nice. But times change. I am a lifelong Wisconsinite, and proudly so. I am also a political scientist. So I know from my daily work that besides partisan divisiveness, another key feature of the times we live in is economic inequality. Yes, families at all parts of the income distribution have experienced growth in income since World War II, even when adjusting for inflation. But the growth among the wealthiest folks has skyrocketed, while it seems to have stagnated since the 1970s among the 40% lowest in income.